Our scripture reading this morning, the first reading, is from Ezekiel. If when reading this or hearing this, you find yourself thinking back at a song that came out a number of years ago called Dem Bones, Dem Dry Bones, you're excused. You can do that. From Ezekiel 37, verses 1 to 14. The Lord's power overcame me, and while I was in the Lord's spirit, he led me out and set me down in the middle of a certain valley. It was full of bones. He led me through all them around, and I saw that there were a great many of them on the valley floor, and they were very dry. He asked me, "Human one, can these bones live again?" I said, "Lord God, only you know." He said to me, "Prophesy over these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the Lord's word.' The Lord God proclaims to these bones, 'I am about to put breath in you, and you will live again. I will put sinews on you, place flesh on you, and cover you with skin. When I put breath in you and you come to life, you will know that I am the Lord.' I prophesied just as I was commanded. There was a great noise as I was prophesying. Then a great quaking, and the bones came together, bone by bone. When I looked, suddenly there were sinews on them. The flesh appeared, and then they were covered over with skin. But there was still no breath in them. He said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, human one. Say to the breath, the Lord God proclaims, come from the four winds, breathe. Breathe into these dead bodies and let them live.' I prophesied just as he commanded me. When the breath entered them, he came in life and stood on their feet, and an extraordinarily large company. He said to me, 'Human one, these bones are the entire house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope has perished, and we are completely finished. So now prophesy and say to them, the Lord God proclaims, I'm opening your graves. I will raise you up from your graves, my people, and I will bring you to Israel's fertile land. You will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you up from your graves, my people. I will put my breath in you, and you will live. I will plant you on your fertile land, and you will know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it." This is what the Lord says. This completes the reading of our gospel this morning.
I don't know about you, but even in the rain, there are times when I feel like my old bones have just dried up. And maybe in some ways, my hope for peace or unity has perished. And that's why we come back Sunday after Sunday. Pray with me, my friends. God of power and grace, fill us with the wisdom of your word and the understanding of your spirit, so that we may truly be your church, the body of Christ, a people who dream dreams and have visions to work in your world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our New Testament reading for the day comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2. I'm going to read select verses as we go. Actually, what I'm doing is I'm skipping all the difficult words that I can't pronounce, the cities and whatever, so you'll know when to skip ahead too. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all in one place, the disciples. Suddenly, a sound from heaven, like the howling of a fierce wind, filled the entire house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. And there were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And when they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were mystified because everyone heard these disciples speaking in their native language. And they were all surprised and bewildered. Some asked each other, "What does this mean?" Others jeered at them and say, "They are just full of new wine." Peter stood with the other 11 apostles, and he raised his voice, and he declared, "Judeans and everyone listening in Jerusalem, know this, Listen carefully to my words. These people aren't drunk, as you suspect. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Rather, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness and the moon be changed into blood before the great and spectacular day the Lord comes. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of God for the people of God. Now, you know, you gotta love this story. Here we have all the disciples and their friends and probably family member, and they're all hiding out. They're all hiding out. Now, they probably are kind of split 50-50. They're excited about what happened at Easter. But you know how sometimes when you get those revelations, they kind of fade away as time goes on. But the one thing they still are is they're still frightened and they're scared. The leadership of the city is still not happy. And now they have seen firsthand what it means when you get on the wrong side of Rome and you get on the wrong side of the temple leadership. And when you think about all the things that happen in this story, what do you think is the biggest miracle? The tongues of flame? The languages? Or that frightened disciples bravely and publicly go into the streets and talk about Jesus? Now, biblical scholars will tell us that that last miracle, going out into the streets, is probably the one that we would be most likely to experience today. And if that's true, maybe you're sitting there thinking, even if you're a new elder or a new deacon or an old elder and old deacon, that you would go out into the streets talking openly and honestly about Jesus to other people, people you've never met, didn't know if they understood English. Boy, that really would be a miracle today, wouldn't it? The concept of the Holy Spirit is fascinating, and there have been many attempts to define it and describe it, but they all fall short because we just don't have the language that we need. It's very hard to define in human terms. And from the very beginning of our scriptures, we see the Spirit as an agent of change. At creation, it is the Spirit that hovers over the waters of chaos to bring about order. And at the baptism of Jesus, it is the Spirit that actually opens the heavens, breaking through that division that separated heaven from earth to be able to descend as a dove. But I really worry sometimes if the only picture we have in our mind of the Spirit and the Spirit's power is the dove. Because if the only picture we have, then I'm kind of afraid that the Spirit is going to get pigeonholed. Get it? Pigeonholed? Yeah. Thought of that one this morning. I was pretty proud of that myself. Because when we look at this beautiful white dove, meek, mild, innocent, maybe frail, relatively small, definitely the prey of bigger predators, trust me, however the Spirit is depicted, the abilities of the Spirit are matched for anything in all of creation. One of the best depictions I've ever seen about the power of the Spirit comes from a children's movie called The Prince of Egypt. And in it, you will see the Spirit as the 10th plague, when God finally says, enough is enough, let my people go. And the Pharaoh at that time makes a huge mistake. And in trying to hold the last card over Moses and the Hebrews, he vows revenge for the other 9 plagues. And what he says is, I will kill the firstborn of every Hebrew, and you will come into line. And by saying that, he brings the curse upon himself and his own people. Watch this movie clip and visualize the power of the Spirit. Brad, you can go ahead to the next slide. I apologize if the sound is not working. But as you look at that, you can see the power of the Spirit of God, because the Holy Spirit comes to us in overwhelming ways, gentle ways, quiet ways, but still with power. When we look at the passage that we saw, the Spirit comes like the sound of rushing wind. And in Tampa, we are no stranger to those violent winds, those hurricane winds. And so observation number one in dealing with the Spirit, always remember that even as a dove, the Spirit manifests tremendous power for us. Second, the presence of the Spirit touches everybody in the story. In the upper room, every single person, it didn't matter whether they were male or female, rich or poor, from the other side of the tracks in Galilee, are part of the Jewish leadership. The presence of the Spirit is never based on demographics. It's never based on ability. It's always inclusive. It is never exclusive. Always personal. Always life transforming. But for me, sometimes the most interesting work of the Spirit comes on that third action for Pentecost, enabling people to speak in different languages so that everyone in the city could understand a message of hope and salvation on their own terms. Just like the ability to break down barriers between heaven and earth at the baptism, the Holy Spirit can break all kinds of barriers, personal barriers, unyielding barriers, man-made barriers. You know, Bill read that familiar passage from Ezekiel. And if the Holy Spirit can bring dry bones back to life, the Holy Spirit can probably resolve any situation in our life that looks hopeless. The Spirit does not want us to relive our past fears, but rather to dream new dreams, better dreams, for ourselves, for our community, and for the church. Where are we frustrated by barriers? Where are we frustrated by hopeless situations? Gun laws or gun control? I was told this morning that more children died in school this year than servicemen in the military. Natural disasters, volcanoes and hurricanes. Maybe it's just you're needing help surviving a new school or an old job, a past relationship, or a new beginning. Maybe you're restless and you don't even know why. Maybe for you that restlessness is because of a new illness, a surgery, a long recovery. Maybe you are restless because of conflicts within cities or even between nations. The Holy Spirit has come to fulfill the reconciliation in human life, all human life, us to God and us to one another. We can count on the Holy Spirit to be with us in the worst of our problems and to help us work through them, even if the only person who changes is us. But the Spirit only works when we allow the Spirit to move in our lives. Let us be Spirit-filled people, people of tremendous power, tremendous joy, tremendous action, gentle as doves, but strong as the wind. Amen.